Good morning, listeners. This is Joe Muller, head of Monopole and sales of fine wine at Corney & Barrow. It's Thursday, the 2nd of May, and I'm joined with my colleague, who's also on the private sales team, Aaron Eccles.
Hey, they've let me on a podcast.
Your debut. This is nice.
Very good.
Very pleasing. Very pleasing. Look, so Aaron and I were in Bordeaux. We were part of the team that went out to taste last week. The B team, but you know, B's for best, obviously. And with that, it was born an idea as the campaign continues to unfurl that we thought we'd try and give a relatively concise update of what's happened within the most recent days, what our thoughts are of it, and what's going to be coming up, particularly because it became quite apparent, didn't it, when we were out there that this was going to be a quick campaign, concise.
Yeah, I think everyone that we spoke to at the Chateaus understood the need for a quick campaign. The best campaign in recent memory was 2019, which was sort of short, sharp, and good pricing. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, the COVID vintage. Most people love that one, which is actually quite probably an interesting cross point to start on, actually, because for me this week we've seen a few releases. The big names that have predominantly come out are Léovel Lascasse and Ponte Cane, which was on Tuesday. So today is the Lafite stable, which we'll come on to. But on that 2019 theme, one of the messages which we never thought was going to possibly be listened to was that if you came out at 2019 release prices, guys, this would be a really successful campaign and things would fly. It'd be great for you, it'd be great for negotiation, it'd be great for the merchants, it'd be great for the consumer because of the value they'll be getting from the purchase price. And actually, two of them have come out of their release prices. So no, I think we'll start with this week. We will touch on the end of last week as well, because that's when the actual campaign started, 2 days after we got back from Bordeaux. Léovel Lascasse came out, and it's obviously Brito Prats, and there were question marks on what they were going to do. The big first name does cause a ripple effect in Bordeaux because people like to see what the neighbour's doing. It's not a case of the Joneses, but they certainly are influenced by what happens. And, you know, they came out 40% down on last year. Now, cynicism can say, well, they went up quite a lot over in between 19 and 2022. However, 40% down does translate into a sales price which was below any of the recent vintages for Léovel Lascasse. So including 19, you could pick up a 14, slightly less, but all the other vintages really were between 870 and 1300, and it came out at £831 a six. So for me, instantly thought there's value there, definitely. There's a real intention, which I was very happy with. It was a real surprise. There's a breath of enthusiasm and life into the campaign.
Yeah, I think completely agree with you there. The Lascasse has always been a producer of fantastic wines, and I think that this year is no different. When we tasted, the wines were full of red fruit, lots of tannins, as you'd expect from Lascasse. It's always one of those wines that really does repay some cellaring. But as soon as that was released, as you said, just a really nice signal that everyone got the message. Everyone knows that there is sort of this need to be a little bit keener on pricing, and the days of just upping yourself by 10%, 15%, or even 20%, as we've seen in recent years, have gone. So a really nice signal of intent, and also a great wine. I think, you know, you mentioned 2014 there. These wines are different to 2014. There's sort of some really nice red fruits. There's also a little bit of black fruit in there. It really dances that fine line between sort of having that power and then having that acidity as well. So I think Will Hargrove mentioned it yesterday, our head of fine wine. If you are going to buy Léovel Lascasse, then do it. It's a good price, great vintage.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was a wine we loved. And, you know, we have discussed the pre-order the mechanic that we've got in play at Corney & Barrow this year, which is something very different. It was an order sheet that we sent to our customers with ultimately what we think is the fair price of what that wine should be released at. And if we like that wine and scored it highly, and the pre-order form has our scores on there and our thoughts, and the Bordeaux Hub on the Corney & Barrow website has all of our tasting notes as well. If the score was high and the price came out, and it does, you know, I say came out, we're only just into the campaign, but if it comes out within that bracket, it means, you know, we think this is a very strong buy. And if you've got an affinity to the wine, then it's a no-brainer. Jump in. So yeah, Live or Less Cast certainly fulfilled that criteria nicely. Ponte Cane came out as well, and you know, we love Ponte Cane. So it's a brilliant Pauillac estate. You know, it doesn't need an introduction. It's probably more well drunk than Live or Less Cast, I'd say, on tables. So it's got a broader general audience of wine lovers. It came out at a price. It was 30% down on last year. So, you know, in terms of a headline figure, it's noticeable. For me, I would have hoped for a little bit more, if I'm being honest. It was above our what we thought was a fair price to be selling the wine at. So it's not one that we've been pushing massively. However, we are also conscious that at €65 a bottle in bond, it's of a serious quality of a Pauillac. Fifth growth technically, second growth by quality, that a lot of customers have actually decided, well, look, I am a lover of this wine, and I still want to keep my horizontal going.
Yeah, I think we...
vertical, rather.
Yeah, I think we discussed that in the office, that for me, Ponte Cane could be up there with sort of one of the best wines in Pauillac outside of the first growths. There is obviously that thing this year that we tasted Pichon Le Long, and we thought that was the best wine outside of the first growths in Pauillac. However, Ponte Cane is such a great wine, and they are drinking a lot younger now as well. So it just really shows that it's a great drinking wine. I mean, I had the 2015 recently and was absolutely delicious.
Lovely.
I completely love what they're doing there with sort of biodynamics and ceramics as well. Every time you meet the team there, there's something new going on. You know, it's not just the case that they've hired in horses for the week to be out in the vineyards to show you that they're doing something. They are actually there all the time. It's a really good estate. So I think a recommendation, but we know that there's more to come. And that's why we've seen sort of quite a few customers who've followed the estate, really like the wines, what they're producing, and the 2023 vintage, no different. There's not a step down in quality at all.
Yeah, no, I think you mentioned a good point, because on the 2015 drinking, with Ponte Cane, it's in a price range where a lot of customers still feel that, you know, okay, if it's a little bit up above what we maybe thought it would be, I'm still willing to buy. But it raises a point that there are older vintages of Ponte Cane available cheaper out there. You know, the 19 you can pick up at £340, so £50 cheaper than what they're releasing the 2023. So if you are, you know, a Ponte Cane fan, now's a good opportunity actually to jump in, start buying some secondary market, older, mature Bordeaux, because I think if this campaign continues on the sort of trajectory that's been started with Live or Less Cast, with Ponte, with Lafite, which we're going to come on to in a moment, then those older vintage prices are probably going to move up north, because as they get snapped up, inevitably the prices are going to rise as the supply sort of dwindles.
Just a quick one on that, Joe. The 2023 vintage, I know that you've mentioned that you can already buy 2019. I've got my opinion on this, but what would you drink first? For me, you know, I'd keep aside the 18, the 19, the 20, and the 22. And at the moment, the first vintage that I'd be looking to drink would be maybe the 17. But after the 17 goes, I'd probably be looking at the 21 and the 23.
Yeah.
But the 23 is better price, so...
No, indeed, yeah. No, 21, I think, is in that style where there's definitely more of a supple nature. The beauty between 20, I mean, 23 is better vintage than 21, as we've already detailed on previous podcasts, and it definitely does have an element that we feel the wine will just relax and it will open up, and that fruit profile is going to remain pretty sort of sweet and ripe from the vintage, but the tannins there in 23, because they're so well managed, I think will fall in line and give that sort of harmony at a sort of an earlier point, you know, maybe 5-6 years, where 19, 20, 18 are going to take a lot longer. I agree, that sort of classic rule, yeah.
Yeah, almost like the 15s are now.
Yeah.
You've got all that red fruit, it's pretty delicious, but they're not closed down anyway.
And they will, you know, for those who want that more, you know, tertiary development, the secondary character, these 23s, well, you know, the clumps are going to go 20 years, 30 years as well. So, yeah, one to bear in mind.
Right then. Big releases today. As we were sort of sitting down and catching up this morning, Caouard Lafite came out, and Du Hart Meon. Take it away.
Yeah, Lafite stable. The sort of one of the big hitters, if you like. We haven't got the price for the Grand Van yet. We've got price for Duhart and we've got the price for Carroard. So let's start with the Carroard, which is the first one out. Carroard de Lafitte, it's come out at a glorious price. You know, we mentioned about 2019 prices. The hats off, chapeau to the Lafitte team here. You know, they have released Carroward at what will sell lower than what the 2019 on promo release price was for it. They've come out considerably down, you know, this, which is great news. The overall percentage on last year is only about 22% or something. But, you know, the difference being is Carroward, since 2019, have only moved their wine up 19% compared to 40, 45% of other estates. And that's why you're seeing some drops between 30 and 40%. So just as a headline percentage figure, it doesn't look like a big drop. However, where it translates to versus what they've released at previously and what the customer will be buying, it's going to be 930 or 6 for Carroir de Lafitte. And pretty much all vintages in the market are about 1150, 1200. So there's really good, compelling reason to buy if you love this wine.
I think I just couldn't agree more there. A fantastic wine, great estate, and a bit of a no-brainer on the buying side. If you follow Carroir de Lafitte, you know, the stable as a whole just makes fantastic wine. So this is, there's nothing really else to say on that. It's just a fantastic release. Yeah. And thank God that it's happened. We're sort of really happy that it's been released at that price. It means that people can jump in and actually creates that little bit of excitement about it.
Yeah, totally. I think we will see the first quite rapid sellout here, which is a good thing because following on from Momentum of Les Gas, we want this sort of, you know, almost electric feel to the campaign if we can, if pricing is right. We want quick reactions. We want this to be succinct, but we want it to be swift as well, and which is why we did the pre-order. They have also come out with Duhart Mion. Duhart has come out at £340 a case of 6. That's sort of 30-ish, £40 above our recommended buy price. So for us, it's not one that we're particularly going behind, I'm afraid, because all recent vintages, this is sort of 16 onwards, roughly around 300, 310 or lower a six pack. So if you are a Duhart fan, I'm even struggling to say why you would buy it, because I think you could be able to buy this later on slightly less.
Yeah, I think agree on that. Unfortunately, it just doesn't work. The price doesn't work. The wine is very good. There's no argument about that. But it's, it just doesn't work. And as we're talking now, I've just had an email saying that Lafitte has been released. So, things happening quite quickly at the moment, which is quite nice. This is how we like it when the campaign really gets going. Carroward's already come out and now Lafitte does as well at quite a compelling price.
Yeah. We've just seen it's over 30% down on last year. So there's going to be a lot of interest on that. I guess, yeah, look, you know, Aaron, this week, there has been a few others. There was Anglais Day, which sort of kicked off the campaign, which I think we should probably give an honourable mention to, along with Bataille. These are wines at prices where, you know, £35 a bottle-ish in Bonn, but wonderful quality. I mean, I loved Anglais Day this year. I scored at 18 and I thought it was a beautiful drinker. And given their yields are small, because of what they're doing at the moment with their farming techniques, they're probably one of the most elegant d'Anglais Days being released.
Yeah, I really like the elegance of d'Anglais Day, as you said, and also just everything that they're doing with the Petit Verdot, that sort of real punchiness that they get into the wine. It builds that richness. I think, you know, when we were tasting in Bordeaux, you go to these big tastings, so sometimes you have to divide and conquer. And Anglais Day was one of those that I think that I pointed to you to taste. Mm. You came back and told me this is really worth tasting. Got in there, tasted it straight away. And we also then asked Mark Ditchin to go and taste it as well. And he was really impressed with it as well. So sort of three really glowing reviews of Anglais Day. I think that it's, a really nice buy just to put away, and it'll be drinking within 5 to 10 years, which is really what you want from your from sort of those early drinking claret.
Yeah, and those with keen hearing will keep seeing, I incorrectly refer it to as d'Anglais Day because it's, you know, it's obviously dropped that. Just, I can't help it, you know, it's just, you know, it's been a part of the vocab for a long time in my fine wine career. So I guess, look, let's finish on next week, what to expect. So Tomorrow there was obviously a May Day. It was May Day yesterday, so it was a public holiday in France. There's no scheduled releases for tomorrow. We've got a public holiday here on Monday, which poses a bit of a problem because Mouton have decided that they want to release them. So, you know, where we are forming our plan on how we're going to offer and how we're going to respond to that. But be prepared if you are listening to this over the weekend, that Mouton is on the horizon. However, you probably won't get the same quick communications from any of your merchants as you normally would.
I think that Monday might be quite fun. you know, this will really test everyone's resolve, won't it? I can imagine that if the price is right, as Lafitte has just been, my phone might be ringing, and maybe I'm going to Hastings for the weekend, so maybe on a motorway service station trying to get a signal, just ringing in saying bye bye bye.
Should be good. Yeah, selling Mouton with an ice cream in your hand.
It's not going to be that long.
Just like you do in the office, actually. So, Mouton aside, there'll be other releases next week. We have got two very important public holidays, unfortunately, for the campaign, because it's going to cause a little bit of a stall next week. Not unfortunate for the French. I'm sure they'll be embracing those public holidays. But on the Wednesday, Thursday, there won't be any releases at all. So Tuesday, we'll see the likes of... We've got some names coming out, Lafon Rocher, Comte-Merle. There may be other names that just come into the arena that will be added across the next few days. We'll wait and see. But it's not going to be a ferociously busy one as of yet next week, apart from Mouton.
Yeah, I think with next week in mind, Mouton is the one to watch. And following that, there's been some really good things happening at Lafon Rocher. So if the price is right, could be something to really get behind. And yeah, honourable mention to Comte-Merle. Has made a very good wine in 2023, and that is all I'm going to say on it.
Yeah, Mark Ditcham, possibly his wine of the vintage. He loved it. So, look, the idea of this pod, as we said at the beginning, was just to give you a snapshot of what's happened, our thoughts on it, what's coming up. We want to keep them relatively concise. So we will be back next week. Aaron and I, we're hoping to do this sort of weekly. We'll maybe bring in the thought processes to bring another person as well to give their thoughts from the team. But for the meantime, thanks very much and have a good weekend.
Cheers, Joe.
All right, bye.